Acts 11, verses 2 through 18. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went in to uncircumcised men, and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, his surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life." So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Up until the time of Christ's earthly ministry, and especially of his death, when the temple, the curtain in the temple, was torn in two from top to bottom, and then his resurrection, in which he was declared to be the Son of God with power, and his ascension, in which he went up into heaven as our mediator, Hebrews telling us that he does so, especially as a high priest entering the Holy of Holies and bringing us in there with him, and took his seat then on the throne of glory. Up until that time, it was not wrong, indeed it was commendable, for those who had been circumcised to understand that this set them apart from the rest of the world. Indeed, the phrase that we see here for the first time, the first time we see it is actually in chapter 10, but in this extended passage, for the first time, those of the circumcision, it is not a negative or wrong phrase, because indeed God's people were set apart by God to himself, and they had the law, and they made their boast in God, and they were identified by name as being among the people of God. We saw this recently in Romans chapter 2. And yet, there were still some who found their identity in this old identity of being of the circumcision, or made their boast in God by calling themselves Jews. And we saw there in Romans 2 that whether of the old identity or of the new identity, that boasting in our identity when we think that we are superior in ourselves rather than being taught and humbled by the identity that God has given us is always wrong. But there's a second thing that is wrong about these who are considering themselves still as those of the circumcision. And that is that God is not now separating one earthly nation apart from all of the other earthly nations, but he is separating apart to himself the kingdom of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And circumcision is not the mark of separation into the visible kingdom or the visible church on earth. But the Lord Jesus has given baptism as that mark of separation. And so it is especially in this passage in which God makes clear that the gospel is not just for Jews in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the earth, but is for all nations, for those of all nations, not just in all nations, where we have this phrase of the circumcision set apart from the granting to the Gentiles repentance unto life. And so they receive the pouring out of the Spirit, and the water of baptism is not withheld from them, because the church now, God's people in the world, the household of God, is not to be found in the Jewish nation, but in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see that especially in Ephesians chapter 2, and Lord helping us, we will look at Romans chapter 2 very briefly in the sermon tomorrow. Intended to spend the last point last week opening up from Ephesians chapter 2 and Psalm 72. I am now intending to do Romans chapter 2, Ephesians 1 through 4, Colossians 1 through the first half of chapter 3, and all of Psalm 72. We will see how that goes. But this is a very important part of how we respond to our baptism. That we respond to our baptism by celebrating that the Lord Jesus has both reconciled us to God in saving us, granting to us repentance unto life, pouring out His Spirit upon us, making us to call God our Abba, presenting us to God in Himself so that we are reconciled to God, and that in His church He has reconciled the nations to one another, or at least reconciled from all the nations those who are reconciled to one another by being reconciled to God. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, verse 11, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands." You remember that circumcision was not just supposed to be an external symbol. There was an inward grace to which it corresponded, which God called circumcision of the heart, which in Deuteronomy He both commands and promises. He says, circumcise not just your flesh, but circumcise your hearts. And then He also promises that He will be the circumciser of hearts. He says, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So there was a time in which those who had Christ and had hope and had God were the commonwealth of Israel, who had the covenants of promise. Now, those who have hope and have God and have Christ are the church. This is not a replacement theology. This is an engrafting theology, recognizing that God's set apart people have always been the ones who have Christ. This was the great thing about being an Israelite or a Jew, who was not just one outwardly in the flesh, a circumcision of the flesh, not just one outwardly in circumcision of the flesh, but inwardly in the circumcision of the heart. there is for us a corresponding relationship to baptism. Now, those who are aliens from the church, not from the Commonwealth of Israel, are strangers to the most recent administration of the covenant, now not a covenant of promise, but a covenant of fulfillment, which includes promise to all those who hope in Christ, and completion, further fulfillment, final fulfillment of what Christ has done. So let us back up again. Therefore, remember that you who were once Gentiles in the flesh, who are uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And so Jesus is the one who has canceled the distinction that circumcision made as a spiritual sign. He is the one who has canceled the food laws that Peter was right to have been so zealous to follow until such time as the Lord brought the nations and Israel, the nation of Israel, together in one. Now, those from all the nations who are part of his church are the household of God on the earth. He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, verse 19, but fellow citizens with the saints. Notice there is a new citizenship. Citizenship, or membership in the church on earth, is to reflect the fact that we are citizens of the kingdom of Christ, which reigns over all the nations from heaven, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So it is the Spirit now who gives us access to the Father, and those who are in the visible manifestation of the church on earth receive a visible sign that corresponds to the Spirit. The church cannot give the Spirit. The church pours only water. But the water makes reference to the Spirit. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So that phrase in verse 19 replaces, as it were, you know, you got to be careful with the word replace, because people go nuts about this as a replacement theology, replaces the commonwealth of Israel. It is aliens to the household of God and the citizenship of the saints who are now without God and without hope in the world, who are without the covenant of fulfillment, if we can call it that way, who are without the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, being in the church doesn't mean that you are saved, but it does mean that you are not an alien and stranger to the household of God on the earth. It does mean that you are not an alien and stranger to the gospel of fulfillment. And this is what Christ has done. He has gathered us all in, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, I just realized there's no way we're going to finish what I would like to finish, so we'll probably just do that part of Ephesians 2 and then move on to Psalm 72 tomorrow. In Psalm 72, showing that this was not just the fulfillment of, not just the next iteration of something that began with circumcision with Abraham and the holiness code given through Moses by God beginning at Sinai, but this was something that begins in the garden, when there are going to be two races, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And the seed of the serpent is going to be put on his face and lick the dust. And there are going to be enemies from all the nations who are put on their faces, go on their bellies, and lick the dust. But there are also going to be saints from all the nations, seed of the woman, who bring in their gold and silver and praise the Lord Jesus and rejoice as his subjects. And this fulfillment of the promise in Genesis 3, especially as such as the Lord Jesus as King who is submitted to in his church and rejoiced over from all the nations, this brings him great praise and glory. And this especially is what is contained in the glorifying of God, saying, God has also granted unto the Gentiles, to those of the nations, repentance unto life. His people are no longer those of the circumcision. They are those of the baptism. They are those of the triune God. They are those of the gospel. They are those of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason is not so that we may despise Jews, many of which are believers and members now of the household of God, every bit as much as they were members of the Commonwealth of Israel. But also not that we would despise Jews because it is into the tree of, I don't have Ephesians 2 open. The Commonwealth of Israel and the covenants of promise, that is into the tree of the people of the covenants of promise, that those who are members of the visible church now are grafted. And so it's one continuous set apart people. It's just an outbranching with all of the graftings in from the nations. And so we should not think of the idea of replacement so much as we think of fulfillment and flourishing and the keeping of promises. It is in this being accomplished through the Lord Jesus that the Lord Jesus receives much praise, that God has planned this from before the world began, and that he has accomplished it in Christ. And therefore, making peace for both with God and then with one another is one of the great things that Jesus has done and for which we praise him. And so that's the last thing that we should do in response to our baptisms. Not only submission of obedience and submission of dependence, but also celebration of the Lord Jesus, who he is, and what he has done, which is in part what Psalm 72 is given to us for, which is why we'll finish with that tomorrow. Didn't take the time just now to open it up.
but we will sing it after we are done praying.
Let's pray.
We praise you, Lord Jesus, who have in your flesh made peace not only between God and sinners, but between Israelites and those from all the nations whom you have brought near by your blood. And we pray that you would make us to love your church and to value our membership in it and our being set apart in it, to value that you set apart not just us, but our children, to glorify you for the repentance that you give by your Spirit. We pray that you would keep giving repentance and keep giving faith, even those of us to whom you have given it. How desperately we need to grow in our believing and to grow in our repenting. And then, O Lord, within your church there are many who have not yet repented and not yet believed and not just children. And so we glorify you and praise you that this is the place, this is the people among whom you are giving it. And we ask that you would keep pouring out your Spirit and keep giving it, that your churches would be spiritually alive and not dead, that which is put upon us outwardly and visibly, you would also do inwardly, where only you can see, that your church would be vital and alive from the inside out. And so we pray that you would keep working among us powerfully. And we thank you for the encouragement that your word gives us to remember that you have set apart a people, a gathering, a congregation, and congregations of your church, a visible manifestation of that invisible and everlasting kingdom. So work among her, we pray, even as you have given us hope and expectation that you will. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.